Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Today is October 19th, 2007. PIVTR is the Internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to small businesses, entrepreneurs, and beginning writers who want to further market themselves and their services, books, and products to the media. And now, without further ado, let me introduce to you Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, her co-host Martha Trowbridge, in Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon, Lillian.
Hi.
This is Dr. Barbara, and so I introduce you, Martha. You're regular, so you could just come in and say hello.
Oh, sure. Hi, yeah. Everybody.
Martha Trowbridge, my co-host, and we're delighted to be back with Happiness for Women Only. And we thought today that it would be very interesting to look further at the concept of replenishment and not running on an empty tank emotionally or spiritually as women. This is a very complicated concept. Sounds really easy, like someone could just give you a free membership to a spa and you'd be running off to paradise. But it's not so easy for women to achieve the happiness that they so deserve and need, whether it's given to you on a silver platter or whether you struggle for it. So we're going to look at some of the components around replenishment and pleasure, and I don't think we're going to get to all of them because it's so involved. Whether you're a very, very intact woman who feels pretty confident, or you're someone who has had some major blows and you really are dealing with many issues around feeling entitled, maybe even to just survive. So I'm going to frame it a little bit and use as the model for our discussion that Martha Trowbridge and I will get into after each little shared vignette is a story from one of my books. The book I'll be using today is Delight, D-E-L-I-G-H-T. Sort of sounds like the light, and I guess it is in many ways, but Delight is one of my books available on Amazon and on my website, www.enchantedself.com. That's Enchanted Self, one word. And all the various bookstores around the world are obligated to order it for you, even if they don't have it. And we're going to use the story in the book called Mazel Tov to You and Me. And basically, Mazel Tov, for those of you not either of the Jewish persuasion or with a Jewish friend, is basically a form of congratulating people. Although instead of, I don't know what the derivation of congratulations is because I'm very weak on Latin and English and Greek words and the roots. But the derivation of Mazel Tov actually means may your stars be lined up in your favor. So it really goes back to a very mystical astrological concept of having a favorable position of yourself toward the moon and the stars throughout your life. So isn't that interesting, Martha?
It sure is.
It's, you know, we just take for granted some of these words mean something so superficial, and then there's so much more depth to them. But anyway, we're going to use this story, I Have a Job to Do to Provide Joy, which is a subtitle, and see how it works into replenishment and not running on empty for a woman. Now, if, imagine this, if God were able to come to you and you actually were in his presence as Moses was at Mount Sinai, and he said to you clearly, Martha, Barbara, Joanne, Millie, Melissa, Matilda, I'm into M's, you know, you must keep your tank full. It is an obligation. Think of being joyful and celebrating your life and feeling good, not as a luxury, but your personal assignment. And I give it to you now, and there's all sorts of, you know, mystical things happening in the atmosphere, and all the animals and birds don't sing for a while, and, you know, the universe stands still, and all this wonderment. You'd say, I will from now on forever, and I'll teach my daughters, and I'll teach my neighbor's girls, and I'll never forget.
So, Barbara, please share with us what you mean by keeping your tank full.
Okay. Well, keeping your tank full means, as a woman, I'm only speaking, although we know men suffer many of the same things we talk about on the show. We're focusing from the woman's model. For a woman, it means getting emotionally and actually physically usually very overtired. Emotionally drained, perhaps being in support of other people but not feeling you're getting back, or you're being insulted or hurt. Maybe you're even being hit, abused, and physically staying up late for babies, grandparents, dear friends with problems, whatever it is, working two jobs, trying to still run a house, whatever it is, there's no time to to get the gas tank back, no time to stop and fill it up. So you're always just at the edge. If I can just get 5 hours sleep, I'll get through tomorrow. If I just eat this snack instead of a wholesome meal, you know, it's okay. I'll manage. I'll eat better tomorrow. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, we have this profound possible experience, which I just used to sort of set up the stage. We would certainly respond to staying with a full emotional and spiritual and physical gas tank probably without question. But the way it is in our society, women sort of are given the feeling that we are responsible to others, and we're caretakers, and we do, and please, and help, and so on, and that's your role, and oh, you know, you'll manage, you'll somehow do it. So there is no awesome experience that helps us catch up. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, Barbara, though, I just want to be a little antagonistic here.
Mm-hmm.
What if women were to withdraw and say, too bad, we're not going to be keepers of relationships, we're not going to be nurturers, we're not going to be any of these things, we're just going to take care of ourselves? What would happen?
Bad things.
And I think that is
right.
What lies really at the core of so many of our drives, is we realize if we don't do it, nobody will.
Absolutely. It's so true.
And terrifying.
It's terrifying, you know, whether it's helping a child through something that you know they'll just totally mess up if you don't stay on the ball, or an aging parent or whoever. You're absolutely right. I don't know if the solution is necessarily down that path. What I wanted to share, and this is why I'm saying this is so layered, we'll never get through it in one session, it could be a whole course, but here's a solution from one community, one ethnic tribe, so to speak, and from a Judaic position.
Oh, great.
And, you know, we'll take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the solution that comes out of Judaism is that there is a communal assignment going on to give and receive joy rather than an individual assignment. So I think that we come to this from, it's just a very different position. Now, I'll explain in my story, I'm skipping ahead to the second page of the story, page 54, for anyone who does end up following this. But I was invited to a religious wedding, which means that this is a community that adheres to not only the what we call orthodox teachings of prayer and kosher food and so on, but tries very hard to adhere to the ethical principles of social behavior that have come down through the Bible and the writings around the Bible, what we call the oral tradition. Not everything is actually written within the what we call the Torah, which you call the Bible, okay? And, of course, not the New Testament, because that's into Christianity. But anyway, okay, so let me start reading a little bit. The most shocking moment occurred immediately as soon as I walked through the door to this wedding. Complete strangers stopped me and said, "Mazel tov." In other words, may your stars be lined up in your favor. I couldn't understand it. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. I barely knew the people who were getting married. In fact, I had come to the wedding as a courtesy and to experience what a religious ceremony was like. "Mazel tov," I forced myself to say back because it seemed the polite thing to do, even though I felt almost affronted and even a little offended to be addressed so almost personally by strangers. Later, when I described this experience to a friend who was religious, she smiled. "The celebration was for all of you," she explained. "We're all connected, and one person's happiness is another person's happiness, just as one person's tragedy is another person's tragedy." She went on to explain, "I didn't need to know the bride and groom well to be part of their shared milestone. Just by attending, I was acknowledging that a good thing was happening in the community, and therefore to me. And so I deserve to be congratulated. I wasn't simply an invited guest, but an active participant, a member of the community celebrating together." And this, to me, was a very profound insight, because it seemed to explain a level of ties and connections that began to pull together a lot of threads for me. Why sometimes I had wanted to be with certain people, and maybe my parents or my husband or whoever was in my life had said, "Well, you know, we really don't know them that well, or what's the big deal? Other people will go." And I think my heart might have been saying, "But this is a communal opportunity for celebration and joy." I'll just stop at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts relating to this, Martha?
Well, it sounds utopian to me, and wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we all did operate from that premise, that one person's joy is everyone's joy, and that we all should share it and do our best to contribute to the joy of other people. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's fabulous, and look, we all carry our inner demons, even if we're brought into a lovely place. There are many places that attempt this. For example, Kripalu up in Massachusetts in the Berkshires is a wonderful retreat where, when I went the few times I did, you know, you're welcomed at the door, and there's a tremendous effort to bring you into community instantly.
Mm.
But we do have our demons, and the next thing that happens at this wedding is tied into dancing. And the women dance separately from the men, which is a modesty consideration that I think may also exist in the Muslim world and some other tribal groups around the world. Anyway, when the circle formed with the women, I found some of my own demons coming out, and I was remembering when I would go often to dances how my voices would start in my head. Particularly with circle dances like this, where you just sort of run up and grab people's hands, you know, take a good look at yourself. You're too fat, you're too old, you're trying too hard, you don't know anyone. They're dancing with each other. Aunt cousins are dancing with favorite cousins. Who's going to dance with you? You know, this sort of this dribble that goes through the mind, okay? And yet, this was an experience where I knew no one. And, but because the circle was like non-expressive of personality ties, you know, best friends, cousins that knew each other. It was just a joining in unison, like just let's all shout together in happiness kind of thing. I felt very good. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful time dancing. In fact, I felt so close to the other women, and this is cute. I think this is so interesting. When I looked over to the other side where the men were, I was almost shocked to see the men there, and I said to myself, oh, yes, I had to remind myself, they are here too, those males. You know, they're so different from us, so harsh and manly. They move with such ferocious energy. They're nothing like us. And, you know, it wasn't that I was repulsed as so much as that I had bonded for the time with these women, and nothing could seduce me to leave that circle because it was giving me so much pleasure.
Mm. So how does this story specifically tie into our attempts at replenishment?
Okay. So it specifically ties in that we are not really capable, and I include myself, capable of full replenishment and pleasure unless we get signals and assignments from others that we take seriously. That's why I gave this exaggerated example of God giving me assignments in the beginning of the show. But we really do need to find ways that we can quiet our inner demons and our negative voices to give ourselves permission to be joyful and happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be going to a comedy club with a group of friends. You know, that the comedy club, people may not articulate this and know this consciously, but they've used the club where they meet once a week to fill themselves up again.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those people could probably do as good a job laughing as hard and having as good a time just sitting home in their kitchen. You know, so they have used a segment of community to uplift them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main message that this particular story, I was using it in my book, was to help women see that if you can get yourself plugged in, then your own motor will start to work.
Mm-hmm. So the community really is important for all of us. And perhaps that is tied into the whole need we have for relationships that affirm and validate and nurture us.
Sure.
That it's more on a more global or cosmic scale than, for instance, an individual relationship you may have with a friend.
Well, an individual relationship with a friend can definitely be your doorway, your entranceway to whether you're going to be replenished.
Yeah.
You know, if that friend takes you down, maybe you're then pushed back into obligation that you feel you need to help her, but she drains you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have another friend or friends that really offset that, you may be finding yourself going toward empty, and you have to question what's going on here.
Right, and, you know, often we can find ourselves, the more generous we are, being caretakers to everybody, to all our friends with troubles. They appreciate our empathy and our patience and our caring. And so I know in my life I've found that I often am the one who gets called on the phone when something goes wrong. And we do need to find a way, going back to your idea about God commanding us to be replenished, we need to find a way to get the kind of nurturing we need to be strong enough to continue to help other people.
Right, and I think going back to your question, what if we stopped helping and we stopped doing and we stopped protecting, I don't think that's the solution, because I really think in the blueprint of life, you know, women who are the bearer and the raiser of children, that we are destined to caretake and teach and transmit the wisdom from generation to generation.
And those are beautiful endeavors,
yeah.
And they are joyful endeavors. So it's not all pain and strain by any means. But we do need that also. And Barbara, as you know, we had Dr. Frank Summers on the show twice already. And he, in both of those discussions, was stressing the importance of us having this kind of a feedback, and to use your metaphor, fuel for ourselves, as being very, very necessary all our lives through, that we need to receive as well as to give.
Absolutely. So let's go back to something as simple as dancing. I don't mean dancing like people get paid, you know, professional dancers. I mean left, right, in your own living room with a, you know, the music on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about dancing. That's like a natural gift from nature that most women can identify with. And if it's used, like there's a woman, I forget her name, I once had her on one of my earlier radio shows years ago, and she wrote a book called something like Dancing Naked in the Living Room. And basically she was giving women lots of clues on how to be more joyful. And what she was really saying is you can take the simplest repetitive fun act, and if you can give yourself permission to not feel evaluated and judged, and that could mean by yourself too,
mm-hmm.
you can do it enough to get a vibrational high from it, which will help your energy. It'll get you back into a pleasure realm.
Mm-hmm. I so agree with that.
Now, you probably do some of that stuff anyway, just living, you know, up in a state where you're in a New England state with a barn and animals and nature and trees, and I imagine some of that you do probably without even thinking.
I do, but I also have deliberately constructed a life where I derive joy from my surroundings. I grew up in a city and have been living full-time in the country in a very rural, relatively cold area for 6 years, and have found myself shifting away from the whole party and doing this and that for my sense of replenishment to being very earth-based, and it's marvelous. It's just tremendous, the joy you experience with nature. It is. And I am surrounded by animals and land and woodland and meadow, and it's just an amazing spiritual experience and very pleasurable.
I bet it's nice this time of year, too.
Oh, gorgeous. The color and so much activity, and just watching the wildlife prepare for the winter is magnificent.
Right, and, you know, of course, you have expenses. I mean, nobody lives for free.
Mm-hmm.
But the things you're talking about are not things you have to pay for.
No, not at all. They're just, I think, too, Barbara, contrasting between being in a city life versus a rural life, it can be harder in the city, although there are lots of activities available for free. It can be harder to be spiritual because in the city, you are very disconnected from nature, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so that is one of the blessings of having a country life. Although there are costs to, speaking of costs, there is the cost of distance and of loneliness and those kinds of things. It's
right.
So it's a trade-off. Very, very different lifestyle.
Yeah, it certainly is. I've never really lived it. My country is walking along the seashore.
But that's nature, though,
yes,
to be near the ocean.
Yes, it is.
And I love the ocean.
Yep, and I have a fear of tick bites. You know, whatever the latest fear is, I'm prone to get it and probably would be hesitant to roll in the grass at this point kind of thing. But, what I'm trying to share by sharing my own vulnerabilities is really to women listening that we're not talking from this high mountain peak like we're so superior. You know, both of us have inner messages that aren't always fruitful or helpful, and we have to work our way through them.
Oh, that is for sure.
You know?
And they do present, you know, I think, Barbara, no matter how much you work on yourself and try to construct a happy life, you have to understand that these issues probably will present from now until the day you die, and to understand how to address them, how to deal with them, how to quiet them in a very loving way so that you can go on and be happy is really the secret to happiness.
Right. I think that that's so true. And whatever your hook is, for me, if I can have people that either are real community or quasi-community, like two or three friends that when we come together, we make a temporary community. If I can have people like that who give me permission for staying with for replenishment and pleasure, moving that I have a right to feel joyful, I have a right to relax. That's very helpful to me. I really need that hook.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may not need it as much because they can get it through whether it's through being with animals or nature, you know, other avenues that release them in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not giving one exact recipe here.
No, not at all. And I think each woman needs to come to understand what makes her happy. But I think, you know, going back, I was just thinking, listening to you, Barbara, that you mentioned a moment ago you need the community that really is very helpful to replenishing you, that obviously derives from your early experiences as a girl. You are an only child, and so
right.
Probably one of the things that is painful to you is the idea of being alone. Single children, only children do often feel, they don't feel the same sense of whatever as children who grow up in families with brothers and sisters.
Well, that's true, but let me say I have a sister many years younger than myself that I love very much, Diane, just so in case she listens, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
I thought you were an only child.
Oh, for many, many years, 17
Whoa.
Years.
17? Wow.
Yes. But yes, I mean, I can remember the agony of hearing upstairs Peggy and Johnny and their parents and their grandmother, you know, all assembled in family life, and my father would be out, my mother might be there, or whatever. She was starting college during those years, so she was busy too. And I would traipse up those stairs in this three-family house. I'd always be the little kid knocking at the door, you know, who really, yes, I wanted the ice cream that Grandma made on Sunday, but I think I also wanted the community.
Sure. Well, and it's great that you had the wherewithal to go up the stairs and present yourself when you were quite young. That's tremendous.
Right. Right.
And it's funny, Barbara, I'm from the other side of the story, from this huge, endless family. I had, on my mother's side alone, 37 first cousins.
Oh,
and,
wow.
My mother was one of 10 children. My father, one of 4. So we had, and we were all settled very close geographically. And so I had an overabundance of relatives all the time. I never had, there was never a day in my house where we didn't have somebody dropping by. And I'm one of 6 children, so I come from a very opposite position
yes.
as a child.
Yes, and part of me, the little girl, is actually envious just as you talk now.
Really?
I could really go back to her and think, oh, how busy, how nice, how, you know, all that activity and energy and overhearing people's dilemmas and stories and crises, you know. And I'm sure there's much more to it, obviously. And you
well,
know,
it's great when everybody's happy, but when people aren't happy, it's not so great.
No,
so.
Of course. Well, we have gone about our half an hour, so I hope what women will take from today's show is the sense that we have responsibilities to remain replenished, rejuvenated, to have enough happiness so that we're not so worn out that we're just giving the last of ourselves, or maybe we're even cranky and destructive to other people. You know, it's not like we don't even go into a negative mode at some point
mm-hmm.
and hurt others, you know, because it's essential to have enough fullness within ourselves to really remain ethically at the as wholesome as most of us wish to remain when we're very depleted, we can be actually more spiteful, more jealous, you know, all the negative things that often we're struggling with in life. So we hope that this conversation is pleasing to you, that you get a kick out of it. Martha and I are trying to combine a rigorous style of scholarship, which we both have, with not only interesting guests who are very much scholars in their own right, but a chance to kind of get to know us as women, too. And, you know, so we do drift into this casual mode, and we'd love to hear from you, whether you like it, whether you like knowing more about ourselves and what we ourselves struggle with and how we have fun, et cetera. And get in touch. You know, you can get in touch with me through Dr. B.R. Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, at enchantedself.com. And if you forget that, you can go to my website, and there's a way to mail me a message. And, of course, you can even call my office, 732-571-1200. And, Martha, you want to reference people to you again?
Oh, sure. I have a website as well. It's www.marthatrowbridge.org. And on the website, you'll see a contact page, and you're very welcome to write anytime.
Great, great. So thank you again for being with us for another show and Happiness for Women Only. Tell us your story, your thoughts. Stay with us, and we'll see you again very soon. Bye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and her co-host Martha Trubridge and Happiness for Women Only. And if you want to hear this program all over again, and I'm pretty sure you do, you want to go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. The little time sign of the page, you'll see a word, archives. Click on it. A list of names will appear. Then click on Dr. Becker Hosting, and you'll see the podcast, PIVTR. Whether you providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. Our next program coming up is The Proper Care and Feeding of Your Soul with Deborah Lentz Hill and David Lentz. And before you go, I would like to leave you this simple phrase for today by Ansia Usariska, who says, "The real thing creates its own poetry." So thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you next week. Thank you and good night.